We now have four letters to the evening news. I'll read the first letter, which is from the Reverend Steve Pomeroy in St Olives. He'd read about the harassment of seals at Horsey and calls on everyone to keep a respectful distance. I read with interest the article about the people who harassed the seals and then onlookers who attempted to remonstrate with them. I'd be going to see the seals at Horsey regularly with friends and family for some years. It's always an uplifting experience in being near to these wild animals and viewing their activities, from a large bull seal chasing off others from his bit of the beach to the nurturing of the mother seals of their snow-white young. Apart from the odd dog walker who allows their dog off the lead, I'm heartened by the respect and obvious wonder and delight of others for the seals. A big part of this wonder is being on the beach with these wild animals and not behind a fence or even a rope barrier that has a zoo-like feel. In recent years, those wishing to protect the seals, and thank you for all your work, have become overzealous in barriers and over-distancing to a point of viewing rather than being on and sharing the beach and time with a wild animal. Some years back, before all the ropes and fences went up, my grandchildren were awestruck at the experience of being on the beach without a physical barrier, only a mindful and safe, respectful barrier. They're all older now and have a great interest and fascination with nature, and I think their experience with the seals at Horsey was part of this. So let us not all be made to keep off the beach and far away just because of one plonker. Even he must have had an interest in going to see the seals, but let showing off overrule common sense. The seals trust us enough to go onto a public beach, so let us trust ourselves to remain at a respectful distance to have a moment of wild together.
Two of this week's letters to the evening news came from Chatterbox volunteers. The first was from David Potten, who read Eleanor Pringle's comments on e-scooters. David is aware that there must be a major hazard for the blind, and he pointed out that in addition, many of them are being used illegally. May I suggest that Eleanor Pringle, Scooter to Your Heart's Content, August the 27th, looks at the law on electric scooters. The only scooters that can be used legally on Norwich roads are those rented out under the Beryl Bike Scheme. These can only be used on the road, not the pavement, and the user must have a Category Q on their driving licence. Helmets are recommended, but not a legal requirement. You can see the guidance on gov.uk, www.gov.uk, Guidance e-scooter Trials Guidance for Users. It is only legal to ride a privately owned electric scooter on private land. The news team may wish to find out if the police are enforcing the law, and if shops selling electric scooters are giving clear advice to buyers, or where they can be legally used.
The second letter from a Chatterbox volunteer was from Peter Dennington. Peter was rightly upset that Norfolk car parks have given up providing a little extra time for blue badge holders. He writes, "I find it upsetting that most car parks in Norfolk seem to have given up providing a little extra time for the disabled stroke blue badge holders. I can walk, but at only about a third of the speed I used to. So having parked the car, it takes me much longer to walk around, so I have less time to do the things I wish to do, e.g. shopping, having a meal, etc. Those who need a wheelchair may need 10 minutes for the chair to be removed from the car, the user to be helped from the car and into the wheelchair, and the same when they arrive back at the car. I think it's uncaring and unfeeling of the organisations that run car parks to have removed that little extra time for the disabled. I think it would be good for the able-bodied people who make these decisions to have to spend a day in a wheelchair to give them an idea of what the disabled are up against. I say to them, come on, have a little compassion. One day, you may be disabled yourselves."
Our last letter this week is from David Coe of Norwich, a regular evening news correspondent. He's worried about the slow concreting over of the countryside in Norfolk. As each year passes us by, more people are beginning to wonder if there is some kind of secret plan to slowly concrete over our green countryside in Norfolk until we're physically joined to London and become an outer suburb of the capital in the future. With new roads being built and others proposed all the time, these projects will naturally bring countless thousands of new unaffordable homes to locals alongside them, and in a short time, this process will be repeated until we simply run out of land. Are we in Norfolk being forced to build more homes than other areas like Somerset and Dorset, for example, because we're nearer to London? If that is the case and we cannot or will not do anything to rectify this situation, is there another way we can build more homes using less acreage of land to preserve more of our vital farmland to grow our food for an ever-increasing population? This could involve a new housing plan that will cause horror to many people. And that is, instead of having thousands of new houses taking up vast swathes of our ever-shrinking countryside, build new design, restricted-height blocks of flats, thus building upwards instead of outwards. For example, building an old-fashioned three-storey high block of flats would house six families, taking up a far smaller acreage of land than building six ordinary houses would take. Building these new buildings close to the new roads would save even more land, and putting a place in new transport plan, which would involve a proper regular bus service every day of the week from these buildings to Norwich and other centres, would lessen the transport problems that any increased members of new homes bring. David Coe, Rosebery Road, Norwich. And now, back to the news.